need an actual review. That resolution that we applied for this year may have come to you speedily without any interference in any particular form. More seriously, I do hope that all of you have had a good holiday, particularly the honorable members. We do still have some work ahead of us on this bill. I'd also like to recognize and invite the Chief State Law Advisor, Mr. Ender Daniels, and his deputy, who's present here today, to assist us in our work. Also, the Honorable Lee Chabal Leng, new member of the committee, and the Honorable Nazia, also one of the new members of the committee. Welcome to this committee, and we hope that you will also contribute to the work that this committee has been doing so far. Some garden matters. The Honorable Ngabadeli is still here. There's an apology from the Honorable Sonta, who's also now become a member of this committee. He's abroad on a trip with one of the other committees that he serves. The Honorable Loretta Jacobus, who's also become a member of this committee, is also occupied, meeting clashes with another meeting. I also understood that she was in the seat. The Honorable Delanga, I understand, is chairing another committee at the moment. And the Honorable Landers is attending an ad hoc committee that's dealing with the Code of the Judges' Financial Interest. I also received a call from the Honorable Annelies van Wyk. She is unfortunately also not available and said she would come if her engagement finishes early. Those are unfortunately the apologies we have. It's quite a number of members, but we have in the past struggled along with the members that are here. We aren't going to take any serious decisions today, so I think that should make everybody feel comfortable. For those of you that were not here when we last met, I'm not sure if it was December or it was certainly last year, we did extend certain tasks to the Chief State Law Advisor's office, and I think they are here today to present to us. But before we get to that, there is a new program, a draft program. I understand it has been handed to you, which sets out the way forward in terms of committee meetings for the next 2 weeks. As things are, very often these things have to be changed, but as things stand, the meetings scheduled for this week are all scheduled in the morning from 9:30, although it appears on your program as 9. They are scheduled for 9:30. Perhaps you can just change that. And they are not likely to run beyond 12:45. As things stand, we are meeting every day this week in the morning. And the idea is, honorable members and visitors, that we have got to take a stance on this bill. It's again not a question of rushing matters, but Parliament has set aside specifically this week and next few weeks for committees that are dealing with legislation. We have got priority to deal with that legislation, and any other parliamentary work we have been excused from. I have to apply for special permission to sit this week during the times that we are sitting. We have been given permission by the House Chair to sit for the times that are allocated on the program. As for the specific work that we'll be doing, we will hear from the State Law Advisor, on the call last year. We were at the time busy trying to harmonize the bill with fire. Just for convenience sake, I'd like to remind everybody that when we speak of the bill and we refer to particular provisions in the bill, we speak of a clause. And when we speak about any particular act, including FIRE, the Promotion of Access to Information Act, we speak of a section. So there were various sections in FIRE and various clauses in the bill that we were not happy with, and we were looking at whether it was possible to use FIRE as the single act through which information would be requested, be it classified information or information in the normal course of business, that FIRE would be the law through which information would be requested. That was one of the tasks that the State Law Advisor was asked to look at. Simultaneously, also to look at the position whether we could have the bill operating simultaneously with FIRE so that both the bill and FIRE could be used as a means of getting access to classified information. Those are one of the key thoughts that the State Law Advisor was asked to look at. There were other consequential matters that they were also asked to look at. We were looking also at the time there was an unhappiness that the definition of information peddlers appeared to be inappropriate. And that was also one of the things that they had to look at. There were a number of other things, and I don't want to now repeat all those issues. They have done considerable amount of work in assisting the committee. I understand that copies are presently being made as we talk, and that the members will be given copies of the drafts that have been made. I'm not sure just how long it will be before the copies arrive. I do recognize you on Romania, and you are asking why the copies are not going to come earlier.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned you spoke to the program, and you said that this is not a question of rushing matters. But if you look at the program, one can only infer that your intention is to dispense with this bill by the 27th of this month. And it seems to me that in fact, is rushing matters, and that this seems to be a fast-track program. And I think that the point here is that this bill has huge import. The last thing that we as a committee do is a rush job.
The answer is very simple. Very simple. So allow me to intervene. Will we call that the life of the committee was extended to, I'm not sure it was the 21st or the 28th. Okay. And because of that, when we ask for an extension, we don't, it's not up to me to say I'd like 6 months or I'd like a year. We say that we work until, and you will recall the way we proceeded, I was not prepared to concede that we would not finish because that's, as a chair, what I'm expected to do. I then, when we see we can't finish, I say to Parliament, we cannot finish this bill in time. The necessary people take the decision to extend the life of the ad hoc committee. The life has been extended until then. I am then required to fit my program in then. If the program doesn't fit in then fine, you know, we will have to ask for a further extension. But I am required, I cannot take it granted that, you know, I cannot fit it in this time. So we've tried to fit it in that time. If we don't finish, then a normal will require us to pass. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I remember when the committee was extended to the 28th of January, we asked, and I think you might have given an indication that you've raised with the speaker as to why such a strange date. Clearly, there's no sitting envisaged by the 28th of January. What happens on the 28th? Do we just cease to exist? Because there clearly won't be an extension, unless I'm misinformed that there is a possibility of some sitting by that date. Just as a matter of practicality, what happens if there isn't a system? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, the whole issue of the way Parliament functions at a sitting and at a House level does not fall under my jurisdiction. I'm not able to influence to the point where I can answer you. But what I do know is that the work of this committee and the timetables that are very much in the hands and before the people that take this decision. I cannot assume that those people are irresponsible. I can only assume that they are responsible and that these things will be taken care of. If there is, there should be a sitting. If there is no sitting, there will have to be, when the next sitting comes, a question of condemnation that is allowed in terms of the rules. I recognize my
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I seem to be confused because I really don't understand what is it that we are arguing here. The period of the committee and the continuing operation of the committee is not our mandate. Our mandate is to deal with the bill. And I thought if we would decide to spend much more time dealing with the real issues that we are assigned to, it would save us a lot of time and it would also assist us in making progress in what we want to achieve. The time that we have spent already, if we have used it properly, it would have covered 15 minutes of a constructive debate.
Honourable member, I could not have said it better. The Honourable Fickle.
Yeah, in fact, the Honourable Member has taken what I want. Now, in fact, I'm saying that why should we preempt that bill is going to take very long? The people are wishing that it should take a long time. Because already it was supposed that we supposed to have completed the bill last year. And time has now still we think that it still has to continue like that as if we're going to take a whole year dealing with this thing. I don't think it's wise. Let's just do the work and see how we are committing.
You might look, the honourable members, I've said before, people are invited to this meeting to see the processes that take place. Because there are some very distorted perceptions out there as to what happens here. And one thing that I as a chair do not want to create is the impression that we are rushing this bill for some ulterior matter. So you must get that clear. That's not the intention of me as a chair or of this committee. And you would have noticed that we have been most accommodating to deal with matters. Where the matters have been serious, we have spent serious time considering those matters. So, let it not be said on Bulmania that there is now, appears to be an attempt to accelerate this thing in a situation where it's going to finish on the time period that you might find. I wish no opinion on whether the time period of a week or 2 weeks or 2 months or a year sufficient to finish the stop. I did earlier on last year mention to the Honourable Smuts that maybe by some miracle or some fascinating agreement we might be able to resolve some of the controversial issues overnight so that we can take that to the moment and really go to the House. I'm an optimist, I don't always overlook those possibilities. But how the bill will be dealt with, we will decide that. And like we said, I don't like this idea of the federal. We have spent considerable amount of time on this bill. The state law advisor has gone back and forth coming to advise us. We've had the minister coming here with his hat in his hand telling us that he would recommend to this very committee where this bill was introduced, that he would recommend that certain amendments be made. And we took a lot of time listening to him. We gave him time, in fact, to formulate his response to the public hearings. A lot of concessions was made. So, let it not be said that way. It's a very dangerous statement to make, to say. But I think, the Honourable Mayor, that the answer, you deserve an answer, and the answer I gave is in fact the answer. It is not in my hands to, when Parliament says that is the thing that you extend it to, for me to say, well, I'm extending the discussion on this bill till June. It is not for me. I am expected to, within that time period, work at the program. Honourable members, can we go ahead now?
It is true the possibility in theory always exists that fascinating solutions to problems may occur, and you yourself have at least once produced a really fascinating idea which took the process forward. I refer to your proposal in respect of fire, and your further suggestion of direct reference, incorporation of direct reference to the national security provisions of the Constitution, I think is another such a very important and fascinating idea. But having said that, it is our considered view that this bill ought to take a long time because there are very great issues at stake. Intelligence is an increasingly interesting but increasingly difficult area, as we've seen over the past few months. We believe that we ought to be applying our minds thoroughly. And what I'm asking is simply this. In your interaction with the programming committee, surely you are in a position to say to them that it is our view as a committee that we wish to give this bill the proper attention, that in our estimation it will take, you know, choose your time period, but I would say at least this year. And therefore, so that we can avoid a situation where we keep being given dates at very short notice, wherein you are forced to write programs to coincide with those dates which are not realistic and which are not really intended. Surely you are in the position as the chair to say to them, do not give us another date X weeks or months in. We need the year. Can you not influence the programming committee in that way at our request as your committee member?
Well, answered the committee on this matter over the time. To suggest a time period, as you now also suggesting a year, I think it is influencing the thinking of people here that there are people that think that the bill is so complex that it should take another year. I don't want to get into that debate. We have spent sufficient time on the issues that have been raised in the public hearings. There's no issue in the public hearings that we have not considered. And we are still considering issues. And as we go along, we will consider further issues. And I will not concede and I'm not prepared to accept that this bill is going to take another year. Nor am I prepared to accept that it will take another day. All I'm saying is it will take as long as we need. And those that are watching will say that the process that was done here was a proper democratic process. That's all I'm prepared to say. And if this thing finishes tomorrow, then those people that are watching the process will have to accept the process that took place here was a democratic one. Because it can't finish in any other way. So, honourable members, can we go on to the business at hand? Mr. Daniels, I know the Miss Karen Boyes from your office has been, your deputy has been very active in assisting us. I'm not sure what the position is down there where you sit. You did hear me. If I've said anything wrong regarding what is expected from you today, then you can correct me. But we are expecting some form of a presentation regarding particular fire issues and also the other issues that we have just in general ways that you might clean up. So there might be, I don't want to hold you to a particular view on how you want to present. We did get stuck in that particular area, that's where we left. And I'd like to hand over to you just before I do that. There was at one stage a concern raised by the Honourable Smuts. And the concern that she raised was that she wanted to get down to the real nitty-gritty of the issue. What it was regarding what information should be classified. Now, short of the media then went to play this thing out that the chairperson was refusing as much as the opportunity to raise this thing. That's what I read. I don't know who was responsible for that. A naughty report. That is in fact not what I said. I said to the Honourable Smuts, we will get to a time and you will have the opportunity to say your say on that particular issue. So I'm just warning or alerting the Honourable Smuts that we are going to come very soon, possibly in this week, where we are going to give you an opportunity to raise that issue. Okay, and you will be able to say to us what it is that you are unhappy about and why you are so linked up with this, that classification, the restricted and whatever it is. You know what you want to say. So, I did promise you that, and I'm just putting it on record now. In this week, you're going to be given that opportunity so you can prepare for that. The Honourable, or rather, Mr. Daniels, can I hand over to you now and hear what it is that you...
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you, and compliments of the season to you and the committee members. Chairperson, we have prepared two documents. They're both working documents. And we've called them Working Document 1 and Working Document 2. And they incorporate the instructions given to you, to us, by you and by the committee. And if you don't mind, I'll hand over to Karen Boyter and to Karistwa Ludlu to deal with the two documents, if you don't mind. Thank you.
I understand the working documents are on their way. Is that understanding correct? Thank you.
Mr. Mania has gone to the Defense Committee for a short period. Advocate Swart and I ought really to be in justice at this point. If we are still awaiting documents, would you advise that we go to justice for, say, 20 minutes, half an hour, or not?
I can't stop you from going. But whether you're asking after the meeting to adjourn, I think.
No, I'm not. But I thought I might be assisting you. But it's all right, we'll stay. I think it's what I will stay.
Let me just hear on the arrival of the document. Adjourn for a few minutes while the documents are being prepared, or are you prepared to talk?
Jefferson, we have 5 copies, and if you and the committee are comfortable, we can deal with the documents in the meantime while copies are being made for additional copies. I'm entirely in your hands.
That is what I would expect, that you proceed. You say you have got 5 copies to give to the honour to members that are present.
Mm-hmm.
So there you
Could I just raise a point with you? I see the documents are dated the 15th December and the 14th of December. Was it worked on further? But why didn't we see this beforehand? It's unacceptable for us to try to consider these documents now without having had read them beforehand. And that's normally the... Unless I presume last night there were some urgent amendments made. But these documents are dated 14th and 15th of December. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, we're going to adjourn in 15 minutes. There's been a request that some of the members want to go to another meeting to do some urgent. We adjourn for 15 minutes. That will also give us an opportunity to arrange some copies. We convene in 15 minutes' time. We'll reconvene at 10:30. consolidate what we have agreed on into one document. That will become the sole document then that the committee will proceed on. The Daniels will be telling us the status of the two documents. But I thought it necessary for those of you that spot any errors in the document that you start and raise these as some form of concern. Let it not be a concern, you raise it, and we will note. I don't think anybody has been able to go through each and every clause and every line to make sure that the original has not been deviated from. But we will get to that particular point. If there is an error that you see, you raise it and we will deal with that and note it so that it can be dealt with appropriately. Having said that, I'd like to go back to you.
Thank you, Chief. And as I indicated, Ms. Boyser and Mr. Ludlow will handle the two documents if you don't mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may, members and Chairperson, I will go to the working document one first. That is the document that incorporates both the fire as well as the access through the Protection of Information Board document. What we've done is we have cleaned up in accordance with the committee's instructions rule and we said deleted some of the provisions of the what we've done is we have cleaned up the two bills. We've taken out the portions that were in red the previous time which we had a meeting in accordance with the committee's instructions, and what we left with is green insertions that indicate where we've indicated some of the new provisions that we still need to consider and where the committee has made some suggestions that we have to provide for certain issues in the rules. So, if I may continue with working document one, what I will do is, if it's okay with the committee, I will just present those issues that we've highlighted in green unless the committee wants me to take the committee through the whole of the working document one and the whole of the working document two as a complete document.
Before you continue, some of the documents, the alterations are in green, and on other documents they are lighter and black. They are grey. So those of you that don't have green, you have grey. Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, what is done in the working document one, the preamble, we have inserted a provision that indicates that the constitutional framework for the protection and regulation of access to information and the national security is subject to the authority of Parliament and the National Executive as contemplated in section 198G of the Constitution. I think that was something that was raised by the committee the previous time, and we've considered that and we've included that in the preamble of the bill, so it is up front in the bill that we have addressed that particular issue regarding the national security being subject to the authority. Then what is that is we have made some changes to the arrangement of elections, but I'm not going to go into that particular aspect now. I think for the time being, I think it's better if we just look at the content of the bill, and I would like to take the committee to the definition section, that's clause one in the bill, where we have looked at the definition of information peddler. Unfortunately, the pages are not numbered, but it is alphabetically. So it is, the heading is information peddler, means a person who uses illegal and intrusive techniques of obtaining information or intelligence and produces documents where the content is mostly fabricated with the intention to destabilize and subvert the national security. And this is the first definition that was considered. Thank you. Then the next insertion is the national security aspect in the definition clause as well. That's clause 1, where we define national security to mean the protection of the people of the Republic and the territorial integrity of the Republic against A, the use of threat of force, B, the following acts: 1, hostile acts of foreign intervention; 2, terrorism; 3, espionage; 4, information peddling; 5, sabotage; and 6, violence, whether directed from or committed within the Republic or not, and includes the carrying out of the Republic's responsibilities to any foreign country and international organizations in relation to any of the matters referred to in this definition. Then we also have as an alternative a more concise definition of national security. That is as an alternative on the definition clause, and it reads as follows: national security means the protection of the people and occupants of the Republic from hostile acts of foreign intervention, terrorists and related activities, espionage and violence, whether directed from or committed within the Republic or not, and includes the carrying out of the Republic's responsibilities to any foreign country in relation to any of the matters referred to in this definition. That's with regard to the definition of national security. Then we have on the next page, definition in respect of request, that will relate to the promotion of access, promotion of information act, and this is particularly with regard to this act, where it says a request means an application for access to information made in terms of the Promotion of Information Act for review and declassification under this act. So this means it's under this bill. Then we've also looked at state review, or status review, sorry, and that's on the next page. Status review means the process of considering levels of classification of information with a view to upgrade, downgrade, or declassify the information concerned in response to a request or an obligatory review in terms of this act. Then we also have the definition top secret information has a meaning assigned to it in section 13, subsection 3. That is in respect of clause 1 of the definition section of this bill. Then clause 2 of the bill, we have inserted the objects of this act are to A, regulate the manner in which the state information may be protected, and then I, we've inserted, regulate the accessibility of classified information to the public; K, establish a national declassification database of declassified information that will be made accessible to members of the public; and M, repeal the Protection of Information Act. Some of it was retained in the original bill, and some of it is just to align the bill with some of the provisions in the Act. Then under clause 3 of the bill, we've inserted the clause, under clause 3.1, we've inserted the new C, that relates to the application of the Act, and it says that this Act applies to C, all bodies authorized to exercise intelligence oversight, that is to make provision for any intelligence structures that also have access or classification documents. And then we've also inserted a new clause 3, subclause 3B, that will give the minister the power on his own or her own court or request made by an organ of state, where the minister may by notice in the Gazette determine that the part of an organ of state to be regarded as a separate organ of state as specified by the minister. Then it is a small change in clause 4, that was previously, I think, not mistaken, was made. It was discretionary, it's now a must. It's that small change there. Then clause 5, we have change just the bit there, the valuable information aspect under protected information, where we've inserted valuable information is A, state information which requires protection against unlawful alteration, destruction or loss, B, information that should be retained for later use or reference, and C, information that commas the alteration, loss or destruction of which is likely to one, impede or frustrate the state in the conduct of its functions, and two, deny the public or individuals of the service or benefit to which they are entitled. The clause 6 is also just refined that a bit. That's clause 6, paragraph A. The following principles underpin this act and inform its implementation, interpretation, unless restricted by law, and then the new that is just refined. That clearly sets out reasonably and objectively justified public or private consideration. Then, so I may say to the committee a bit further, clause 8 is just to bring that time period in line with the period in which the minister may make regulations, and that was part of the previous clauses where the minister must make the regulations within a certain time period and then certain things must happen thereafter. In clause 8.3 we said that each organ of state must establish policies, directives, categories in terms of subsection 1 within 6 months of the date on which the regulations contemplated under section 7.1 are promulgated. That makes it just a bit clearer regarding the time frames that's contemplated in the Act. Then, Chapter 4, Clause 9, we've all just inserted a few things that was, I think, previously not there, and that's the wording in 9.1, where we said that the procedure of the policy is information that should be protected from alteration. That was not previously included there, because we're talking the whole time about alteration of documents as well, so we've inserted that bit. And then also in 9.2, we've just refined it a bit to say that items of valuable information and files, integral file blocks, file series, and categories of valuable information must be entered into a register of valuable information developed and maintained by an organ of state. That makes it a bit clearer.
Chris, can we just stop there for a
moment?
Sorry, members, we've done 10 sections. Any comments that you want to make? Like to proceed. I don't want us to get too deep into the work and then you say we've covered far too much. I know that the Honourable Swartz has raised the question and I'm sure you would be given an opportunity to digest some of these things tonight. And we will continue the debate on the things. So don't feel obliged to get involved in the discussion if you're not ready. I'm just offering you an opportunity if you have a comment now on the 10 sections that have been dealt with, that you have something to offer us.
No, I am ready, and there's one interesting one on the on the inclusion of your constitutional reference, which is something I like, but I simply wanted to suggest to you that whereas you, I'm just looking for the page, your reference is to 198 sub D. But I would like to recommend to you that we also include 199 sub 5. And there may be others, but 199 sub 5 I think is particularly apposite because it says that the security services must act and must teach and require their members to act in accordance with the Constitution and the law, including customary international law and international agreements binding on the Republic. It will be self-evident to you why I'm keen on having that. That addresses directly the ICCPR and its provision on its Article 9 on free speech, under which, and we have discussed this before, under which the citizen's right to information may be restricted only when necessary, carries a necessity. It's customary international law, it applies anyway but I think that there's always great virtue in incorporating by direct reference. So I would commend to you the constitutional section 199 sub 5. But sir, may I say, all these latest proposals under chapter 3, the application, as Mr. Mayer said to me, I mean, this is freelancing, because these are not matters we have certainly agreed on. And we have only started scratching at the surface of the whole issue of application, which, as you know very well, you're bored with my views on it by now. I think the width and scope of application in this bill is highly problematic. Instead of which, the state law advisor has appears to have been freelancing and has created amendments, no doubt logical improvements in his mind, but created further amendments on subject matter that we have not concluded. I thought the drafting here was supposed to be occurring upon our decision and instruction. Almost everything under chapter 3 and even the latest things sub 3.
I don't think you were exactly correct there. We did ask them to look at consequential amendments. It's been a raising out of the discussions that had taken place, and one of the discussions that took place was that you yourself, honorable member, much was not happy with the definition of information privilege. And so, I just thought I'd mention in general that we did ask them to look at matters that might be of a consequential nature and then to report on that. It's not that they were given a opportunity to go and just do what they want to. That is not the case, and I'm not sure what it is you're complaining about. The 6 months. Okay. No. I had it. Are you talking about clause 3 now? Are you somewhere else? The answer you're in clause 3 by my. Question of clause 3C. There have been concerns raised by your colleague regarding whether Parliament and the question of classified information dealt with in Parliament. So it raised the question as to what would be this. It's not a thing that was debated here, but what was raised was how classified information would be dealt with by Parliament in terms of this bill. Honourable members would then not be able to do their work, and I'm sure the Romania would have better word as to how he put it. What it did raise then was how the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence was going to be able to deal with classified information, which is the key part of its work. And I thought that was a obvious instruction that I should give the state law advisors to look at that. How would this affect the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence that deals with these entities? It cannot be an organ of state, so who would be doing deals with classified information that all of them deals with? And I did ask them then, on those circumstances, to look at how we could deal with it. And I'm sure that when it came to the discussion we were going to explain to you, that it was a special instruction that I had given regarding a particular problem that was going to be created by the
Joint
Standing Committee
of Intelligence. Chairperson, you're absolutely correct. I did raise the question about the implications of the bill to Parliament. The third point that I raised, the implications of the bill for the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. My concern, if you recall, was Section 18 and the submission of classified documents. The remedy for my concern would be the state law advisor to use Section 18 of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
realize that this, your joint standing committee will now be doing a SWOTUS classification of its own and protection of valuable information. That is what the application of the Act is about.
Members, not Parliament, you raised the question of members of Parliament. It then came to my attention that this might well be a problem for the joint standing committee, which I told them, bring it to our attention and see how it can be resolved. So it's a thing that is on the table for the thing. It's there for debate. It's something we have to resolve because we cannot have the joint standing committee have the speaker take a decision. Because remember, it's the organ of state, as the bill now says. The organ of state is the person, or as you say, it must be a high-ranking officer in the organ, in the state organ that is ready to do classification. At this stage, it would appear to be the speaker or secretary in Parliament, if Parliament is indeed an organ of state, that's going to have the authority to determine what information should be classified. And that's clearly going to be is not a member. Well, you would perhaps know less of the matter. It was then something I had raised with them because of the manner in which you had raised this member of Parliament. I thought this is their answer to my question, but as you can see, it's a matter of debate. Maybe at the end of the day, there's not a solution. But it needs a solution at this stage, as it will say. Need a solution to that situation. Perhaps there will be delegation issue. You know, under that clause it might be dealt with that there is an acceptable delegation to the chair or whoever is the joint standing committee. Because I cannot receive a classified letter, top secret from the intelligence watchman, and then write back and not classify the answer. And I'm certainly not going to want to go to jail for classifying things I shouldn't have classified. So, because we work in that environment, I immediately saw the problem and asked them to come to a solution. And I was going to do it. It wasn't even smooth to something. It's in green for the reason that... okay. Is there anything else, honourable members? Things that have already been sleeping. Okay. you feel comfortable on the moving. Is there anything else that you can do on that? I then hand over back to you, Honorable, the Chief White One.
Chairperson, it's necessary for me to record that we never freelance. We act on the instructions given to us by this committee and by yourself, and we went through these documents very carefully. We call them working documents 1 and 2 because we're aware that certain of the instructions emanated from you and may not necessarily have agreed, have been agreed upon by the entire committee. And so we classify these as working documents 1 and 2. We're satisfied that the changes that we've incorporated in here, including the consequential amendments, are strictly in accordance with the instructions given to us, either by the committee or by itself. For the record, Chairperson, we've also not discussed this with the minister because these instructions emanated from you or the committee.
You will at all times get the protection. Repeat the process open. There must never be any suspicion that there is something untoward happening. So it's not a question of owning up, it's merely a question of drawing attention to the things that have been done. It's all being done in good spirit. Naturally, some of the things you may not like on Romania, but it will be there for you to debate. Some of the things you might like, you may not. So, having said that, can we proceed?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the opportunity to proceed. Clause 11, we've also just incorporated the into Clause 11D, the word alteration. As I said, that will just bring it in line with the previous amendment that we've made. Then clause 12, paragraph 1C, we've just incorporated the word valuable information as contemplated in section 9.2, that's just a cross-reference to the particular section. And then we have incorporated the word deemed to be classified in subclause 2, and that is where we talk about the categories that are classified for information that falls within such classified file or integral file block that should be deemed to be classified. And then clause 13, we've just brought in line with what we've indicated previously, the unlawful disclosure of which is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause demonstrable harm to, and that is also in clause 2A, 2B, 3A, 3B. Those are the changes made to that particular clause. Then clause 14, that deals with the delegation. We just try to accommodate the delegation level to make it clear that it should be a person that is at a sufficiently senior level that will ensure that the information that is classified is information which generally requires protection should be classified by a person if that authority to classify is delegated. It must be at a sufficient senior level. Clause 15, we've just incorporated the word in 15.1i, classification decisions must be assessed and weighed against. That's just for consequential and to make sure that it is obligation. For 16, we didn't touch, and then also for 17, the same thing. We've made sure that where the delegation is made, it must be with a person that's got the senior level, sufficient senior level of authority to allow that person to perform the function. Clause 18, we haven't touched. Clause 19, as same as we've done previously. It just brings it in line with the previous section where we've indicated in clause 19.1 where the classified information is likely or could be reasonably be expected to cause a demonstrable harm to the national security of the Republic. Can I continue, Chairperson, to the next chapter? The next chapter deals with the review and appeal proceedings. We, in the previous occasion, we've indicated that we've inserted the purpose of the chapter, and that is clause 20, where we indicated the purpose of this chapter is to facilitate access to classified information by using the provisions of this Act, or B, to provide a requester with an alternative process to obtain classified information by using the promotion of access to information Act that makes provision then and it clarifies the position regarding the dual system that this bill then, in this working document, retains. Clause 21, we've just inserted the word despite subsection 1A, and that is in clause 21, 1B, and that's just a consequential amendment. Clause 21.2, we indicated that the first 10-year period referred to in subsection 1 starts on the date of commencement of this Act. That just makes it clear when the commencement date will then be of the 10-year period. Clause 22 we didn't address. Clause 23 is the same. Clause 24 we didn't address any issues there. Clause 25 we didn't address any issues. Chapter 8, if I may continue, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You will recall that in the beginning, when we first started this document, I complained about the openness of people or the wideness of people that can classify information. And unfortunately, the changes in clause 14 at a sufficient senior level to ensure that only the information which generally requires protection is classified. As far as I'm concerned, it's still wide. It has to be more specific. This is, in effect, no change as it was in my It's just sort of restructured in other words. We must be more specific to the level of people that can classify information.
Honourable Member, that point will be noted. I don't know when you say senior. Terminology or the simple definition meaning of senior level, given that thing starts with the head of the organ of state. See, when you talk of somebody at the senior level, it must be quite clear that even with the ordinary use of the word senior level, you cannot be speaking of somebody too far down. Because the power, or the original power, lies with the head of the office. The senior person can clearly not be the tea girl or the tea boy. It's clearly going to be somebody quite higher. But I think we flagged that because we might find a solution. I don't think it is a big concern. Because I'm sure even your courts are going to tell you, but surely, you know. Could not use the security guard at the gate because nobody else was available. This is not what was contemplated by Parliament. What we are contemplating is quite clear. You know, but I take your point. Do you want to be so specific that it becomes a problem because all organs of state are not equally constituted with a head? As a DT, it could be somebody else, you see. But you flag it and it comes. Yes, Honourable.
Say, just as a general matter on the harmonization of PIA with this Act, I'm trying to replace or recall all our discussions and how far we went, and obviously one will need to consider how far this is achieved. But I stand under correction, but did we not discuss the possibility of separating the two totally? That access would be dealt with under PIA, and that classification would remain in terms of this bill. Therefore, I'm slightly confused as to the dual nature when we speak about a dual system, and I'm referring to the purpose of the chapter section, clause 20, where you have A and B. Facilitate access by using the provisions of this Act. Does that, and if you read that with the definition of request in section 1, means an application for access to information made in terms of this Act, Promotion of Information Act. So I'm a little bit concerned, and obviously I've got to look at the consequences and see to what, but I would have thought that we've gone a long way to try to make it very clear that we want access under PIA and classification under this Act, if I understand our discussions correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Do you remember what you have before you with two documents? You've got a document that is called Working Document 1. That's the one we are busy with at the moment. In this document, the state law advisors take the view, as they were instructed to, that we continue to look at, as the original bill was, that access would be used both for the prior and for the bill. That was the way the original bill was drafted. The view that I had taken at a particular time was to try and look if we can synthesize also with this prior and the bill, so that PIA becomes the sole source through which information will be requested, including classified information. That is the situation in document 2 which you have. We haven't got to that document yet. What the state law advisors bring to us today are both scenarios, which obviously the decisions which we have to take to see which one is best going to work. So, we are going to probably get there, and with this argument, with these discussions which we have raised, with a single system will be dealt with when we get to the second argument. Am I correct in that one? Are there any further questions? Otherwise, you can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. We can just also mention with regard to the delegation issue that was raised that we will maybe look at mentioning the SMS level that is currently used or is considered by the public service for a sufficiently senior level of delegation to a member of the particular staff of that organ of state. So we will look at wording in that respect as well. And you are quite correct that when you come to working document 2, you have dealt with that process in that working document. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I will now continue then with Chapter 8, Working Document 1, where we've only made a small change in 4.26.2. Where we also included at the commencement of this Act, the records will be deemed to be declassified under certain conditions. Then clause 27, we haven't touched clause 28, it's just inserted to make sure that the reads correctly. Where we've looked at clause 28.4, where we said every head of an organ of state must operate fully with the National Archives to establish and maintain. So we just inserted those words to make sure that the establishment and maintenance is in the bill. Then we come to chapter 11. We haven't touched the rest. So in chapter 11, clause 31, we dealt with the offences and penalties provision, and you will recall that where we had previously in the definition section, we had a provision that dealt with certain things that we felt or the committee indicated that should not be in the definition section. So we've looked at that and we've thought that we might consider inserting that particular aspect under the offences and penalties provision to make clear that it only includes the offences and penalties provision. So what we've dealt with here is the knowledge of fact and existence of substantial and compelling circumstances, where we set in clause 31.1, for the purposes of this chapter, a person is regarded as having knowledge of the fact if A, that person has actual knowledge of the fact, or B, the court is satisfied that 1, the person believes that there is a reasonable possibility of the existence of that fact, and 2, the person has failed to obtain information to confirm the existence of the fact, and knowing should be construed accordingly. Sub 2, a person ought reasonably to have known or suspected the fact if the conclusions that he or she ought to have reached are those which would have been reached by a reasonable, diligent person having both A, the general knowledge, skill, training and experience that may reasonably be expected from a person in his or her position, and B, the general knowledge, skill, training and experience that he or she in fact has. Subclause 3, in regard to minimum sentences, as provided for in sections, and then we mention the sections of this Act, if a court is satisfied that substantial and compelling circumstances exist which justify the imposition of a lesser sentence, in that sentence described in that section, it shall enter those circumstances on the record of the proceedings and must thereupon impose such lesser sentence. Clause 32 we haven't dealt with or touched. Clause 33 similarly we haven't touched. Clause 34 we haven't touched. Clause 35 we haven't. From this page on, clause 36 we haven't. And then when you come to clause 38, we've looked at the disclosure of classified and related information. That was the one that was previously considered by the committee, where the committee indicated that we have to look at it, where we indicated any person who discloses classified information in contravention of this Act is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to imprisonment for a period of not less than 3 years, but not exceeding 5 years, except where such disclosure is A, protected under the Protected Disclosures Act, or Section 159 of the Companies Act, or authorised by any other law. And then the alternative proposal that is mentioned there just provides for as being underlined or a fine. I think that was one of the issues that were raised by the committee, that we should consider inserting that as well. So those are the two proposals regarding that particular clause. Clause 39 we haven't dealt with, or we haven't touched. Clause 40 similarly, clause 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46.
Thank you, Chairperson.
And Chairperson, then when we come to clause 51, that is just the amendment of the Criminal Laws Act, that will then be a proposal that the law specified in the schedule that is attached to the bill. The schedule is hereby amended to the extent indicated in the third column of that schedule. And that makes provision for the minimum sentences as provided for in that particular act. Chairperson, that is the proposal regarding Working Document 1, and as you've indicated quite correctly, this is still a working document and we act on instructions of the committee regarding that. Thank you.
Honourable members, there you have it, Working Document 1. Seems to be a beautiful book. Do I have your honourable members, do I have your attention? Are there any questions on the document added now, Stan? Because, in order to be fair to you, if there aren't any further questions, we are quickly going to say a few things and then we're going to adjourn to give you time, and you're going to come back tomorrow, because I don't want to stifle your thinking. I know you want to go home, particularly the Swats complaint. I want him to go home and look at the document. Perhaps we'll have new queries tomorrow, so we will reconvene. But it is time for questions now that you may weigh your concerns with the state law advice, if you so wish.
Are we going to deal with document 2? Not today.
Well, we'll deal with it tomorrow too.
But just an introductory discussion on that, so that my issues that I raised earlier, we can just find out how far that's been addressed, or are you intending to adjourn now on document 1?
No. I want to give you the opportunity tomorrow to read this document tonight and then to come back tomorrow and raise. I don't want you to say in 2-3 days' time, but we didn't have enough opportunity to consider document number one. So we're fully going to dispose of working document number one before we go on to working document number two. And then we are going to assess what is going to be the more appropriate way to go. Are we going to go with PIA as being the sole law where access to information is going to be applied for? Or we need to have a dual system as we are now talking. This document 1 is a dual system. You may apply for PIA and you may apply for the Protection of Information Act. We can only do that once we have assessed document number 2 also. But I thought it was necessary that you have an overall idea of the Act and all the other issues that might have to change depending on which way you go. Because it seemed that it wasn't just possible to look at PIA in that, you know, without having a better understanding of what the Act or the bill is trying to do. If we just dealt with the matter, can PIA or can PIA not be? It seemed to me that you be restricted in your thinking. Hence, I have thought it more appropriate if you look at this document in whole, you will see the Act there. And I'm sure some of you won't agree that the Act will look this way, but let's assume that this was going to be the final Act. You would have some idea of how it would look. Rather than use part of document 2 and part of document 1 to make up in your own minds how the Act would look, this is how the Act would look if we were going to use a dual system. How it's going to look if we're going to use PIA is set out in document number 2. That document we are still going to visit. But in a general sense, I'm saying, come back and say, and that's why I told the Honourable Swat that sometime during this week we would want to hear her on this whole question of what should be classified and not. She was determined to tell us that this should be a very small portion of the information we cover, and we were going to hear that. And then, once we heard that, we will be able to place that in the context of the two documents. Okay. Yes,
may I just say that you will hear that argument from Mr. Mania, and tomorrow I will be in justice, but he will be here. So you could take that argument from tomorrow onwards, if you wish. May I ask, you're not interested in any discussion of substance on any of the points today? Because I would like to hear you on something.
I'm waiting to hear from you. If you are finished and you have no further questions, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. If you want to hear me on a matter concerning the committee, you may hear me. Matter of substance. What substance of the bill?
Could you argue?
Let's hear.
The inclusion. I like very much the fact that you are incorporating direct reference to the Constitution, and I wanted to hear you on the subject of why you had chosen that subclause in particular. It's the one that says that national security is subject to Parliament and the Constitution, not so. And I wanted to hear if it's subject to the authority of Parliament and the National Executive. Because you've never had the opportunity to tell us exactly what you believe the effect of that to be. I'm delighted to incorporate it. I'd be even more delighted if we can also incorporate 1995. But we haven't heard you speak to it.
Very briefly and without preparation. There's been this argument that access to information is a constitutional issue. It's set out in the Constitution in the section, and so that members of the public, and taking into consideration the Constitution and the whole question of openness and accountability, that this right that members of the public have of access to information is so important, that it's far more important that should trump the right to classify information. Hence, there was the argument in the public hearing that this right cannot be interfered with. PI has already set out how people shall proceed if they need or if they want access to information. I raised the question of Section 198 because in terms of Section 198 and particularly 198D of the Constitution, there is an obligation of Parliament and the Executive to deal with matters of national security. And this, we don't normally call this a right. Once you don't give rights to government, you give them obligations. Herein lies an obligation not only on the executive, but on Parliament to take into consideration and to be in charge of national security. In that context, if this bill then, and the minister has conceded, to take classification or to make the key issue in the bill matters of national security, then it was my simple view that Parliament and the executive would be doing nothing wrong. They would in fact be doing something that the Constitution said they must do. And so that it was my view that people deal with the right and access to information as set out in the Bill of Rights, they should not overlook what is sometimes very difficult obligations that Parliament have. Because if the train station blew up today, you are not going to ask your brother or your sister to fix the situation. You're going to be running to government. You're going to be running to the executive, you're going to be running to Parliament to find out what's going on and what is going to be done. Matters such as that of national security is correctly set out in Section 198 of authority lies with Parliament and the Executive. In that context, only will be good enough. I might not be eloquent enough to set up the legal argument, but I thought it was necessary that people that have been reading things in the media, that they get a balanced view of what's going on, because it's not an easy job for a government to protect its people. And you know, you get all sorts of complaints from all over the show. But yet, there is a necessity, no matter how much you complain, there is a necessity for the government and for Parliament to take those necessary steps to protect you, notwithstanding the fact that you're complaining. And one doesn't want to do this thing on trust, one wants to do this thing in terms of a law. And because we live in a constitutional state and a democratic state, one cannot proceed from these assumptions that one read in the media, that there are all these corrupt people and you might as well pack up. If we are to assume that every official that is ultimately going to be responsible for his obligations in terms of the bill is going to be a corrupt one. Those that are going to classify, those that are supposed to arrest you when you come to them and say certain things that you shouldn't be saying. Those of them that are walking around with classified information and not taking it to the police. You can't assume that everybody is going to be corrupt. Corrupt is dealt with somewhere else. Here we're dealing, and we want to make sure that we protect the people of South Africa. And it's not a game where you want to take away a people's rights. But ultimately, who's responsible? The Constitution says it's Parliament. Parliament is not just the ruling party. Parliament is Parliament. Parliament consists of more than just the ruling party. And it's the executive. So I think that's my answer. I don't know if it's been sufficient.
Thank you just for giving us the insight into your thinking. And I would like to say from our side, my view on why it would be desirable to incorporate this is that this has the virtue precisely that your security forces cannot clandestinely set up juntas or structures of their own. They are subject, in fact, to the elected government of the day, but in particular to the parliament, which in turn legislates under the constitution, therefore legislates under the Bill of Rights. And we maybe you would think, sir, of including also 198C. National security must be pursued in compliance with the law, including international law, which says half of what 1995 also says. But so from our point of view, the reason national security is subject to the government and the parliament is that the security forces are not a law unto themselves. They are subject to the laws of the land, which we here write, and we do so under the Constitution. But so you and I come at it from slightly different angles, but I thank you for the insight into your thinking, and I think that we agree. It goes without saying that the Constitution governs this law, but direct incorporation seems to me a felicitous approach.
Honourable members, Mr. Daniels, anything to say?
No, nothing at this stage, thank you.
Are your people available tomorrow at office 9, Mr. Daniels?
Yes, we are, thank you.
Then, honourable members, there will be no further business for this committee to consider today. We bring you adjourned till tomorrow at 9:30, when we will continue and we will take further questions on this working document 1, after which we will move on to working document 2. When the time left will be here, the honourable mayor. We then stand adjourned. Thank you.